What a great privilege it is to be able to come and bring a brief message to you this morning, Easter Sunday morning. You'll see behind me on the screen an ironic picture, or a picture by which we may take a simple comparison. That would be a more accurate thing to say. Look at how we send messages. Look at the kind of thing we do. You hear a little beep beep in your pocket, and you think, ah, I've got a message. Compare that to how God sends a message via his messengers, the angelos, the angel. An earthquake and a coming down to earth of this angel in such a manner that the guards, these tough Roman guards who had the task of protecting and guarding Christ's tomb, were rendered as dead men. That is how God sends his message. And I want to say to you this morning, his message, this message that we now see on the screen, the message of the angel, is one of the greatest messages ever given, if not the greatest. And I thought it would do us well today to have a look at that message, to just pick one or two pieces from it and explore them a little more deeply. You've got it written on your service sheet. You have that message on the golden sheet you've been given. I was going to say yellow, but let's call it golden. It sounds much better. Keep it. Look at it again. Reflect on it. As I always say, the Lord's word is living and active. He will speak to you through it, and probably far more things than you will hear from me this morning. Look at this first statement. The thing the angels always say: do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now, we've all seen angels depicted in movies, in cartoons, in things like this. It bears no resemblance, not even a passing resemblance, to the way in which angels are portrayed in the Bible. They are portrayed as absolutely terrifying. It only takes four of them to destroy the world, we read in the book of Revelation. They are amazing, created beings, created by our wonderful God. And in Greek, this passage has one of the most wonderful things ever said about an angel. It's often translated, his appearance was as lightning. Do you know what the Greek says? It says the idea of him was lightning. That's an incredible statement. The very idea of this being was lightning. Breathtaking, terrifying, intensely powerful. And so he arrives and he says, do not be afraid. And of course that can mean many things. Do not be afraid of me. I could destroy you, but that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to bring a message. It can also mean, do not be afraid of that which we are all in different ways afraid of. The power of sin and the power of death. We fall short of what God wants from us. We think the wrong things. We say the wrong things. We do the wrong things. And we are in desperate need of saving. And the message that the angel brings is Jesus has done it. He has done what was needed to save us from our sin, and he has done all that was needed to save us from death itself. It's quite a difficult message to hear. Do we believe it? I wonder, in the dark corners and places in our hearts and minds, do we still have doubts and fears? If you do, hear the message of the angel. Do not be afraid. God has done just what he said he was going to do. Next is this. I know that you seek Jesus. God has told the angel. They're looking for Jesus. They've come even to see his dead body, even to anoint him. They are desirous of being with Jesus, even in death. thinking that perhaps they can worship him in some way. And the remarkable and wonderful thing is, God knows. He knows what is in your heart, and he knows what is in mine. That means, be it ever so humble, however we want to love Jesus and show that love for him, God knows. And in his graciousness, he seems to accept our worship. These women come to Jesus expecting to find a dead body. And of course, something much more wonderful happens. Look long at these words. He has risen, as he said. He has risen. The very heart of the gospel. But let me tell you something. When you go to different churches and you hear the gospel preached, often not mentioned, or just thrown in at the end. I've been a Christian for many years before I heard anyone speak on the bodily resurrection of Jesus and of you and I when we die in him. That preacher was Luis Palau, one of Billy Graham's contemporaries from Argentina. And he was speaking at the McAlpine Stadium to a packed house of young people. And he spoke about the tragic death of a young girl. And he had been asked to speak at her funeral. And what he did was walk down from the stage, stand next to the coffin, and he commanded everyone, look upon the coffin. He said, because it is not strong enough or sturdy enough to resist the resurrection power of God. He pointed at the coffin and said, this will be smashed. And the earth that is piled on top of her will be lifted. And you will see her again, glorified, risen with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was giving the good news and all of it. Make no bones about it. If you miss, he is risen, you've not given all of the good news. Christianity can easily become some kind of vague, esoteric religion, just like every other one. But no, there will be a raising of our bodies, clothed and glorious in new life. He has risen, as he said. The scriptures, 39 books of the Old Testament, vast numbers of things that Jesus said. He promised that he would rise from the dead. If he didn't, then all of that stuff was untrue. But he did, and the angel underlines it, as he said. This moment was the fulfillment of vast amounts of prophecies and promises of God. And he goes on, of course, to fulfill his promises today. We're moving through a pace. Come and see the place, says the angel. The angel doesn't wink and say, take my word for it. The angel says, come and set eyes upon it. And this is just like God's word, his precious word, the Bible. The Bible makes repeated claim after repeated claim to be in no way, shape or form mythology, but to be in every way, shape and form an accurate historical account. You will read through God's word and you will find repeated insistence on date, time, place, specific names. The Bible places huge emphasis on it. There's no subterfuge in it. Come and see. Come and see, says the angel. You might have some doubts in your mind. Look. And the Bible does that for us over and over again. And those of us who've had experience of God know how wonderful it is when you have something to tell after you have seen or experienced. And these are the very next words of the angel. Go quickly and tell. It makes kind of a couplet. Come and see, go and tell. So many Christians, again, only get half of it. They come and see, they say, oh, that's marvellous. Going home now. I'm going to go and enjoy a delightful Easter lunch and celebrate the Lord risen from the dead. And yet the message is twofold. Come and see, go and tell. Go quickly and tell. The great evangelical urgency that has been imprinted on the Christian faith from its very beginning by Jesus Christ himself. Go into the world and proclaim these things. It's our great commission and our great task, and the angel underlines it. Go quickly and tell. And then this promise. You will see him. And they did. The women saw him. The disciples saw him. We have recorded in the Bible curious and wonderful encounters with the risen Jesus. So it was true for them. And like all of this message, it's true for us. You and I will see him. And that could be the most wonderful thing in the world. Or it could be the most absolutely awful. When we see him again, he comes in judgment. There are those who have given their lives to Christ, who have reached out to him in this life and said, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. And there are some who have rejected him, who have thrown all that he has done back at him and said simply, no, thank you. I believe that for those, it will be a terrible day. And it's my prayer from the bottom of my heart that everyone in this place will know Jesus as friend and Savior in this life, and when they see him, when he comes in glory. I want to finish this brief word, because I'm on a promise to be very brief on Easter morning. The smell of various Easter meats is emanating from ovens even as I speak. I love the way the angel finishes it. I love that. I think it's such a stylish and marvellous end to a message. See, I have told you. It made me think, and you'll think I'm odd, of a quote from Fred Astaire. And you see him there dancing with the far more awesome dancer, Sid Charisse. She was such an incredible dancer that all of the Hollywood stars were very perturbed about dancing with her, because they were afraid of being shown up. They were also a little worried because she was taller than all of them. But wonderful Sid Charisse, she danced with Fred Astaire, and even after his initial reticence, he realized it was an incredible thing. And he said these words. He said, Sid Charisse is a terrific dancer, a wonderful dancer. She has precision plus, well, beautiful dynamite, I call it. And he says this line, when you danced with her, you stayed danced with. I thought that was marvellous. You danced with her, you stayed danced with. And that for me, when I heard those words of the angel, just resonated. He says, hey, when I tell you, you stay told. See, I have told you. And those women did stay told. And I pray this day that we will stay told this message. I pray that we can go from this place to embrace its joy and its challenge to go into the world and its great hope and comfort. And I pray that these few words will be a blessing to you, my brothers and sisters. God bless you.